Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, the midway point here of Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Taking you up till 1 o'clock, as always. NCAA tournament starting on Thursday morning at 11:15. And yes, the first game of the day involves the Golden Gophers facing Louisville in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm happy. I'm excited that, first game that we watched that morning, we're invested in. Like, we're not just invested because you might have filled out a bracket. Because as Minnesotans, we're invested because it's the Gophers, right? The Gophers are playing. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to rooting for the Gophers, not just because of, you know, it's Gopher basketball, and we want to see the Division I basketball team in our state advance and do well in the NCAA tournament because they're trying to represent for all of us. But because when you look at the story of Dupree McBrayer and him losing his mother this year as she lost her battle with cancer, he's absolutely somebody that you're going to root for. Tyra McFarlane, that was his mother's name. She lost her battle with cancer, and it was a very public situation because when you have a senior basketball player who is a key piece to this team, go and leave the team to be with his family and then have that thought that I got to get back with my basketball family. I got to get back to school because my mother would want me to play and represent her. That's a big deal. And this is the part where we get emotional by sports stories. We always talk about storylines in the NCAA tournament. And I know the biggest one that people have been talking about has been Richard Pitino facing Louisville, and his father used to be the head coach and won a national championship with Louisville and legendary coach, and Richard even was an assistant there. Okay, that's what people have been talking about ever since the brackets were unveiled. But the McBrayer situation, to me, is something that you look at, and I feel for him. I feel for him with everything that's been going on. So now, just to get everybody kind of caught up on it, his mother fell ill. I listened to his story. I went and looked at the replay of, Big Ten, The Journey, BTN, and they had a deal where they were interviewing him and talking about his senior season and kind of rehashing some stuff. And he goes through and he talks about his mother, who had worked at a prison. She recently retired because she wanted to have more time to spend in terms of watching her son and just live her life and enjoy retirement. She fell ill with cancer, and he said that initially that she had told him because he didn't want her or she didn't want him to be concerned about her. She told him that she was going on a cruise for a couple of weeks when she was actually hospitalized and dealing with chemo. Okay? That's what he said on BTN. And they had some photographs of his mother being ill and dealing with the chemo treatment and stuff like chemotherapy treatments. And unfortunately, she just got sicker. And he, in his own words, he said that the cancer spread. And he got the call from family members that his mother passed away. And it was a very, of course, it's a very tragic ordeal for him. a very sad time in his life, and I know he's still sad about it. Because I know when I lost my mom, I thought about it every day. He went to New York and was with his family, and then he said it was time to get back to basketball and get back to being with his basketball family. And he said that Richard Pitino was very supportive of him and said that anything that you need, your Minnesota Golden Gopher family is going to be right here for you. And I remember when he returned back to his team, I was at that game. That was the Nebraska game. And at the time, Nebraska was the 24th ranked team in the country. And Minnesota, during the course of that game, they were down double digits in the second half. But both teams, okay, had a patch and they had T-shirts remembering Dupree's mother. And the Gophers made a charge in that game. In that game, Amir Coffey was playing out of his mind. He was a man amongst boys that night. He really stepped up his game. And during the course, late, with about 4.5 minutes remaining, Dupree made a three-point shot to cut Nebraska's lead to three. And that was a huge, huge shot during the course of that game. And eventually, the Gophers were able to go on a run, 19-7, and win the game 85-78. And when I mentioned Coffey had an incredible game that evening, he had 32 points. That night I remember so much because you could sense the emotion that Dupree was playing with. The passion for wanting to be out there amongst his friends. And the look in his eyes of, I'm overwhelmed right now, but things are going to be okay. You get his tell. And at the end of the game, after they won the game, he had the towel on top of his head and everybody was consoling him and hugging him. And I know Tim Miles, the coach in Nebraska, was giving his thoughts. And the crowd knew what the moment was about. They knew it was a moment to support this young man and his tragedy of losing his mother. And it really touched me because I remember going back to 2004 and losing my mother. And it wasn't anything that I saw coming. It was a shock. It was a surprise. And you're never the same. And I kept saying to myself for days afterwards, months afterwards, at least the first year and a half, there was tremendous sadness that I dealt with. And I felt like I cried every day for at least the first 3 months. But what gets you through a tough moment like that, because think about it, when you lose a parent, you're in a place you've never been in your life. You are. You're in a place you've never been in your life. You've never been without your mom or dad. For the majority of us, you know, unless you have been a part of a broken home, and I've always had my mom and dad with me, I was in a place I'd never been in my life. But I tell you what really, really, really gave me a lot of strength. It's your friends, man. It's your family. It's the people that you surround yourself with that uplift you, give you the strength. And I'll never forget the people that supported me. I remember going back to work and doing a radio show and so many people showing up live on the remote and coming over to me in the commercial break and just, you know, saying that they were thinking about me. They were praying for my family and all that stuff. That's the same way that I look at Dupree and what he's went through this year. And when you think about storylines this year, when it comes to the Golden Gophers, this is what I thought about immediately, DJ. When all of that transpired, I remember going on the radio and I said, this is going to be a tough ordeal for this young man. And I think that this is something that can bring this team together. Like, he'll grow closer to his teammates, right? That's what will happen. Also, how will his teammates view this? His teammates that have parents or maybe that do not have parents, how will they view this? Will they rally around their guy? Now, I don't want to say that this shaped and molded anything with this season, because it looked for a long time like this Gopher team was not going to make it into the NCAA tournament. But somehow, some way at the end, they made it into the tournament. And I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for Jordan Murphy, a senior who's played his heart out for this program for 4 years. I'm just happy for those guys because, you know, not everybody gets that fairy tale ending, and at least these guys get to the tournament. That's the part that I like, especially for Dupree.
Yeah, I think so much of sports, we get caught up in, you know, million-dollar contracts and the minutia of rules we don't agree with and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a kid's game, and it's about community and team and sportsmanship. And a story like this just puts that all into perspective.
Yep. It's not even one of those deals where, like we're here in Minnesota, so of course we're going to root for the Gophers, and we're going to want to see Dupree play well. We want to see the Gophers play well. We want to see the Gophers win. But he is a story that this touched people nationally. Like, this just – it wasn't just a Strib article. It wasn't just in the Pioneer Press. It just wasn't on the local television stations. This was all over the country. They were talking about this. This was on ESPN, and they talked about it. So this is something that – a story that I think a lot of people, it can resonate with them. Because we've all lost loved ones, okay? We all have lost loved ones, whether it's grandparents, aunts, uncles, parents, maybe children. But this is something that absolutely – I thought about during the course of the season. I thought about him and what he's been battling and what he's been going through. And I just hope that they're able to get a victory. I like to see him at least go out with a victory in the NCAA tournament. Just one. Because I know a couple of years ago we got to the tournament. It didn't work out so well. But I'd love to see this kid go out on a high like that. That'd be a great ordeal for him. All right, coming up next, though. What's the latest in the Vikings' quest for a good place kicker? I have an interesting take in regards to the kicking situations for our Minnesota Vikings. We get to that next on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. You know, I said I wasn't going to get my feelings about the Timberwolves, but then earlier I did kind of get my feelings just a tad bit when I brought up Steph Curry and I started thinking about David Kahn. I wanted to punch him. That wasn't good. Welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm joking about punching him. I don't want to punch David Kahn. I'm just mad at him, though. I'm still bitter. Minnesota Vikings. They made a signing today. I know people are like, really? I didn't hear about this. The Vikings did sign, or re-signed, rather, Dan Bailey, the kicker, to a one-year deal on Tuesday, per a league source. This is from an article from Courtney Cronin from ESPN. Per league source, Bailey's new deal is worth $1 million with an additional $1 million in incentives and has $250,000 in guarantees. Now, Dan Bailey has been an outstanding kicker in the National Football League. He made his name with the Dallas Cowboys, okay? And then he came to the Minnesota Vikings because we were having issues last year in the kicking department. And he was on the sideline. He was a free agent looking for a home. And essentially, he was still waiting there because he was a little bit nicked up. He was a little bit injured. Hopefully, going into this season, he's okay. And when I mean okay, he's completely healthy. And we won't have to worry about any residual effects of him coming off of a surgery or anything like that. So now, the reason why I bring this up is because when it comes to being a Minnesota Viking fan, we've had more than our fair share of negative, tragic moments that have been shoved in our faces due to the misfortune of place kickers throughout the years. That's just the way that it is. just when it looks like we've got something figured out and we're good to go. Nope, we're not good to go. We're still going to have guys missing kicks. I lived in Kansas City for 5.5 years, and I had people trolling me about the Minnesota Vikings kicking situation. Blair Walsh misses the kick against Seattle. You think I didn't hear about that? You think my producer, my co-host didn't throw that in my face? Oh, yeah, they did. You think I don't hear about, to this day, Gary Anderson? Oh, my gosh. And think about that. Let's go back to 98 for a second. I'm not trying to traumatize our listeners. I'm not. But we just got to be honest. We got to keep it real here, okay? Let's cut open a vein right now. I would never forget that. Like, if there was ever a team in the history of Minnesota sports that I was confident was going to do anything, I have never in my life been more confident of a team than that team. That Vikings team in 98, I was sold. Super Bowl homeboy. I'm thinking about Randy Moss and Randall Cunningham and Robert Smith. And what? You guys can't mess with us. And then, on that ill-fated day against the Atlanta Falcons, when it looked like all we had to do to wrap up the game we'll see Gary Anderson go out there and execute a field goal, of which he had not missed a field goal all year long, and we're good. We're headed to the Super Bowl to face the Denver Broncos, and I'm still to this day confident that we would have beat John Elway. Wasn't meant to be, because Gary Anderson didn't convert the kick, and we lost in overtime. I've never been convinced that we had the perfect team ever in my life.
I was at that game, Lake. I was in middle school.
Were you sitting with the Weeping Blondes?
It is still one of the most vivid memories I have from my childhood. I remember walking out of the Metrodome, and the two things I remember seeing that day were grown men crying and Vikings paraphernalia, Vikings flags and shirts and towels and stuff, like, in the gutter, and tears, and the tears of Vikings fans.
You weren't the only ones crying. Seriously. You, me, alike. The Weeping Blondes, remember them? They were on the newspaper the next day. That was not good, man. Not good at all. Also not good, Robert Kraft still in a sticky situation, the owner of the New England Patriots, but he's being offered a plea deal. Will he take it or not? We'll get to that, and today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Laura Oakes. As flood concerns mount in several areas of the state, a call for volunteers in Stillwater specifically. Mayor Ted Kozlowski says they'll be filling sandbags starting Thursday ahead of what's expected to be major flooding in the River City, flooding that could impact MnDOT's work on the old lift bridge.
MnDOT had a lot of equipment and stuff underneath the lift bridge that they're using to, you know, to do their rehabilitation project that we're all really excited for. They had to go out on airboats and help MnDOT and their construction crew get a lot of equipment out from underneath the bridge.
Meanwhile, spring can't come soon enough, and it's upon us tomorrow.
So I'm excited to be able to get outside. I was telling Tess that I want to get out and skateboard.
Perfect.
I'm excited to skateboard.
Spring officially arrives at 4:58 tomorrow afternoon. Mostly clear and cool tonight, overnight low 28. That's your top story. I'm Laura Oakes on News Talk 830 WCCO. Now back to the show.
And back with you here on Lake Night. Weather brought to you by APA Medical. This is going to be a very tricky situation for Robert Kraft and the National Football League. Because if you've been paying attention to the news in the last 3 weeks, I want to say that news broke about 3 weeks ago. Robert Kraft caught in a sting, prostitution sting. Well, according to Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal, prosecutors in Florida, they have offered New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft a deferred prosecution agreement to resolve the two misdemeanor solicitation charges filed against him last month. If the 77-year-old billionaire, that's a lot of money, accepts the agreement, prosecutors would, pending Kraft's fulfillment of the agreement's terms, drop the charges. Okay? So now, let's talk a little bit further about this. The deal that they're referencing would guarantee Kraft that he dodges a criminal record, okay? Which is a big deal. It would guarantee that he dodges a criminal record. That would be a big deal to him and to anybody out there. It would also ensure that he avoids a jail sentence. That's also key. Although the possibility of Kraft, who's elderly and he doesn't have a criminal record, of him being sentenced to jail in the first, that's probably not likely, okay? Now, if you look at the statute, it says that he could be sentenced up to a year in jail. That's not happening. We know that Robert Kraft is not doing jail time. I don't anticipate that. On the other hand, though, of this proposed deferred prosecution agreement, which they also call pretrial diversion agreement, it's not appealing for Kraft, okay? So listen to this. Kraft will be required to admit that he had gone to trial, that had he gone to trial, he would have been proven guilty. This admission would likely be made in writing. So think about that. If he says, okay, I'll come to an agreement, but part of the agreement is, yeah, okay, you're going to admit that had this gone to trial, you would have been proven guilty, and you got to do that in writing. Kraft would also be required to undergo screening of sexually transmitted diseases, partake in 100 hours of community service, and complete an education course about prostitution. Okay? So what they're saying is that he would have to partake in all of this stuff, and then the bigger deal for him is that he might be ridiculed and part of social media with unflattering videos and photos, because he would need to appear in these different and various public forums, and that could be captured by bystanders' cell phones, according to Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated. So now he can come to an agreement and make sure that he stays out of jail and this doesn't go to trial, and he's like, I'm done, you know, I won't have a record here. But it doesn't come without maybe some cost for him in terms of the perception of Robert Kraft. That's the issue here, okay? Does Robert Kraft say, no, I'm not going to admit that I would have lost the case, that I'm guilty? I'm not going to do that. Does he go ahead and let it play out and say, you know what, let's just go to trial? Now, this is the thing that I don't see from Robert Kraft. I don't see Robert Kraft letting this go to a trial. I don't see him in any way not playing out, because this is the issue. They say that there's video of him in the act. Does Robert Kraft want that to be viewed by jurors at all? Does he want that video getting out at all? Heck, the way that TMZ operates, they'll get their hands on the video at some point. They don't mess around. So does he want to run the risk of that? I don't think that he does. But then again, he's got a lot of pride to go with all the money that he has. He would have to admit that had he gone to trial, he'd be proven guilty. That put in writing. Undergo screening of STDs, which he should be doing anyway. 100 hours of community service, he should be doing that anyway. And complete an education course about prostitution. I just think that the public scrutiny to being in front of bystanders with cell phones and all this other stuff, and then, you know, people are good about making memes and cracking jokes. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all. He's 77. You know what he's saying right now? Let me live. He did something wrong. He got caught up in something that he shouldn't have been a part of. And now he's got to make a decision. If you're a betting man, what does Robert Kraft do? I think that Robert Kraft is going to plead and he's going to agree to this these conditions. I believe that's what he's going to do. I believe that he's going to say, he's going to admit, and he will do it in writing, that had this gone to trial, he would have been proven guilty. I believe he's going to do that. And I'm gonna, the main reason why I say I believe he's going to do that is because they say there's video.
Now, I got to think that Kraft in this case is thinking a lot about how the NFL is going to punish or not punish him or the Patriots for this. And
I don't believe for one second that Roger Goodell is going to do a damn thing to Robert Kraft. I don't think.
Do you think Robert Kraft knows that? Do you think he's had conversations with Roger or others at the NFL to say, hey, if I take this plea and in a sense admit some guilt, are you guys going to punish me for it?
I don't know that he's had conversations with Robert, Roger Goodell. You would think that there's, do you think that there's been any communication between Roger Goodell and Robert Kraft in the last 3 weeks? Yes, I think there has been. But this is my opinion. I think that there has been some communication. But regardless of that, I think he's one of the owners that pays the salary for Roger Goodell. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well. Now, is Roger Goodell going to come down and say, hey, man, you got to look, the team can stay in your family name. Your son can run it or whatever, but you're not going to be the everyday person that's going to be running the operation. Will they say something like that? I don't know that they will. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But I have to believe that he's going to say, you got me here. He's in a tough spot. Especially when they say there's video of it. He's take these terms, man. Take these terms. And no, I don't. And like I said before, a few minutes ago, I don't. Do you think that they're going to put Robert Kraft in jail?
No,
I don't think that either.
No, but I think the more damaging thing is, like you said earlier, for this to go to trial and for this to linger for another 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever it takes to get through something like this, I think is just for that to happen tarnishes his reputation more than it already has been.
And by the way, just so people are aware, this same deal has been offered to other men who are like Kraft, recently charged with the same charges in Florida, who lack any criminal record. So this is kind of part of the course, it sounds like, in regards to it being the standard in cases like this, according to the Florida State Attorney.
Well, yeah, and this is how things work. It's, you know, there's not enough money and time and whatever to go through all of these trials. They say, hey, if you have, you know, if this is a first-time offense, here's the package we'll give Kraft and all the others.
Now, the one thing that Michael McCann from SI does say in the article, though, he says the difference here is that should Kraft take the deferred prosecution deal, he would not enter any plea. The charges would be dropped altogether. However, Kraft would have to admit that the case against him was sufficient for proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So there's going to be some sort of punishment. I think that everybody out there would agree. The NFL cannot just sit on their hands and not do anything. Like Robert Kraft, whether it's he's away from the NFL for a year or he's away from the NFL for half a year or he's charged a major like fine of some sort, which fining him is not going to do anything. The man's a billionaire. So money's nothing. But they got to come up with something to say, we're not having this. You have tarnished the brand. They talk about players all the time. Tarnishing the shield. What happens when an owner ends up tarnishing the shield? That is the question. Coming up next, somebody just signed a $1 million television deal. I'll tell you who next on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, tomorrow evening right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. on Sports to the Max. Eric Nelson fills in. He's going to break down the Gophers' chances against Louisville in Thursday's NCAA tournament. On this show, we'll talk to Mike Max, who's going to be live in Des Moines covering the NCAA tournament. So all that tomorrow evening right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And don't forget, all week long on this show, your opportunity to win Twins tickets each and every day right here on Late Night. When it comes to looking at college athletics, I know there's a lot of people that will say and have been saying for the last several years, when will the kids get a slice of the big pie? All the money that's being made. And I know that there are people that are all for paying players, and then there's a lot of people that are saying, no, 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 the education, what they're getting in terms of a scholarship, that's good enough. I'm with the other camp that says there's so much money and there's so much revenue that these kids are creating. Why not give them a break them off a little something? I digress, though. But when you see this story right here, it blows my mind how much money is actually being made and how much money is being offered when it comes to college athletics. Okay? This story from College Football Talk. The report says the American has signed a new TV deal with ESPN that will represent a massive raise for the conference. And when I say the American, I'm talking about the American Conference. That's what they're talking about. That's what they're referencing in the Sports Business Journal. The American Athletic Conference, the AAC. The new deal will pay the conference a sum of $1 billion over the next 12 years, a split of $83.3 million per year, or around $7 million per year per school. Now, it is said right here in the article, and I think a lot of people listening to my rant right now will say, well, that's pennies compared to some of the other money that's being paid to some of the other big schools. That's pennies compared to the $50 million-plus doled out by the Big Ten. I agree. Okay, I'm not – you find no disagreement with me on that. But this is the American Conference. This is not the Big Ten. There are many people listening to this show right now that are saying, Lake, who's the American Conference? That tells you everything you need to know. The American Conference just signed a deal for $1 billion. The contract's going to run from 2020 to 2031, $1 billion. We're not talking about a power conference. We're not talking about the SEC. We're not talking about the Big Ten. We're not talking about the Pac-12. The American Conference. People listening to this radio show don't know who the teams are in the American Conference. How many people do you think that listen to this radio show care about Connecticut football? UCF football, Tulsa, East Carolina. They don't. They don't. They absolutely don't. But that's where we're at. That is where we're at right now. This is big time money being doled out by these companies to get these games. And another thing that should be pointed out is that AAC fans, now they have to pony up for a subscription if they want to see some of their school's games. Now, the marquee games will stay on the big platforms like an ABC, an ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU. But my gosh, the rest of it, you got to get online and pay for it, which is that's rather interesting to me. $1 billion. That's a lot of money. Maybe Robert Kraft could could pay for some of these games. He's a billionaire. He's got all the money in the world. But that's a lot of money, man. It blows my mind, though, Dave, that every few months, when we think that we've seen it all, nah, we haven't seen it all. We're going to have something that's going to top it. You know? We're going to talk about Major League Baseball here after the top of the hour, and there's something that I think everybody's talking about. There was a massive deal that was given out today that everybody's talking about. And I wonder how many more of these deals are we going to see in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But the AAC, the American Conference, that's mind-blowing. I think the one power conference, not just one, the two, though, that stand out amongst all the different conferences, the Big Ten has always gotten it right. The Big Ten Network is about as good of a network as you're going to get when it comes to the financial deal that they did. Big Ten Network is awesome, and the schools are doing extremely well. And then you got to look at what the SEC, what they've been pulling in. If you're talking about conferences that have lacked and haven't done anything throughout the years, the Pac-12 is terrible. Absolutely terrible. They've done nothing. All these big power conferences, they should have a television network, each and every one. But some of them are late to the party. They're late to the party. And when you're late to the party, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get a whole lot of revenue generated when you're that late to trying to get in on good deals. And a quick note, I do want to mention this as well. As we, throughout the week, give out pairs of tickets to the Twins opener against Cleveland on March 28th. Game time at 3:10. It was announced today, ceremonial first pitch. First pitch this year goes to former Twin, 2006 American League Most Valuable Player, four-time All-Star, Justin Morneau. That's awesome. So he's throwing out the first pitch. The national anthem done by Sean Tillman, a.k.a. Harmar Superstar.
Well, that's fun.
And then the American flag raising, that will be World War II veteran Lawrence Klein of Alexandria, Minnesota.
I love that a lot of the old Twins, like you just mentioned, Justin Morneau, and a lot of folks from that era are back and involved with Twins in some way, whether it's thrown out a pitch or, you know, Maurer has been involved with the team. Kadir has been involved with the team.
Yep.
Eddie Guardado has become a coach with the Twins. It's cool to see some of those names from, you know, not that long ago, a decade or two ago.
Brings me back to my youth.
Stay involved with the with the Twins.
It's
fun to hear those names again.
It is awesome. And limited tickets do remain, so let's sell this bad boy out. We got to sell this bad boy out for opening day because it's going to be a good year for the Minnesota Twins. All right, coming up next, though. Who is the latest Major League Baseball star with a record-breaking contract? Wait till you hear the numbers on the latest star and major deal that happened today. We get to that next year on Late Night on CCO.